Okay, hello everyone who is just joining this live stream now. Let me know how the connection is and how the audio is. I'm really trying to up my live streaming. I noticed on my last one that it was extremely choppy, so I'm trying to fix my Wi-Fi and then also make sure that the audio sounds good for you guys. So let me know how it sounds as we go through this live stream today in the comments. I will be paying attention to the quality of today's show. But as always, thank you guys for tuning in. My name is Savannah Hernandez, and I'm really excited to get into with you guys everything that has really gone on this week in terms of news, in terms of it being Biden's first unofficial week in office, if you will. He was inaugurated on Wednesday. It is now Saturday. And so far, Joe Biden has done a really good job of putting America last with a lot of the policies that he has signed into place. Okay, everyone is saying that audio is good and that the stream is looking a lot better. Great to hear. Really excited to jump into all these topics with you guys today. So I wanted to start off the show with this amazing little video that I'm sure many of you all have seen. And this is Joe Biden in front of the Lincoln Memorial on inauguration night. Now, why is it important that we're seeing this zoom in of Joe Biden's face? Why is it something to note? Because Joe Biden has passed this 100-day masking challenge, basically saying that on federal lands, on federal property, that both he and his administration are going to be masked up. And they're doing this in an attempt to, I guess, push better COVID regulations and COVID rules for our country. But of course, as we can see in this video, Joe Biden himself cannot even follow his own federal orders. Hilarious. And none of us are surprised in the least. So I wanted to start off with this today because one, we've seen with Joe Biden's policies that he's already passed, I believe it was 17 executive orders that he signed his first day in office. He is not putting America first. He's actually putting us, both our country and its citizens, last in a lot of the things that he's signing. And again, as with every Democrat, very hypocritical, rules for thee, but not for me. Exhibit A, his first day in office, he couldn't even follow his own federal order. So I wanted to start off with that because it's just hilarious to me, you know? And we have Joe Biden's new press secretary as well. Her name's Jen Psaki. It's spelled P-S-A-K-I. I'm not sure on the pronunciation of that, but she's pretty much awful. You know, starting off in this industry, when I first started off, I started off in radio, and I remember having to host my first 3-hour show. It was very difficult, and I was nervous the whole time. And when I was talking, I would go, and anyone who's a public speaker, who's on radio, who is doing any type of public presentation, especially if you're the press secretary of the United States of America, should take some type of public speaking class. And one of the main things that you learn, no matter if you are in school learning this, if you're taking a class outside of school, whatever, if you're, you know, getting into the industry, the number one thing to note is that you should be comfortable with silence, which is why a long time or sometime with you guys, whenever I'm speaking, I'll take long pauses. Because one, I'm trying to train myself to be comfortable with silence. And two, it's very easy for people in a public speaking platform to want to say, and fill in the blanks with, you know, and I do that still too. So it's something that I actively have to work at. Now I'm 24 years old and I'm not the press secretary of the United States of America. And I think it's worth noting that Joe Biden's press secretary has not learned this lesson yet. To learn how to be comfortable with silence, to learn how to properly answer questions, she has been press secretary now for 3 days. And so far it's been awful. She's not fun to listen to. She's not fun to look at. And when asked why Joe Biden could not adhere to his own federal orders of wearing a face mask on federal property, she simply said, well, he was celebrating. So, you know, it's not a big deal that he wasn't wearing a mask. I mean, he was just celebrating his inauguration. Okay, great. I'm going to use that line the next time I go grocery shopping. Well, actually, I don't have to wear a mask because I'm just celebrating the fact that I don't have food in my house anymore. So, you know, if the president can do it, why can't I? So I just wanted to jump straight into that immediately, jump right into the hypocrisy with you guys. But of course, let's really delve deep into what Joe Biden has signed into office. I know it's already Saturday, so I'm sure a lot of you guys are already aware of some of the big executive actions that he signed, for example, stopping border wall construction, ending the Muslim travel ban, which, side note, those Muslim countries and those countries on that travel ban list were chosen by Obama, and that was something that was instituted under Obama. So very funny that it's, you know, ending the Muslim ban under Trump when that was an Obama era policy. He's also rejoined the Paris Climate Agreement, and he's ended the Keystone Pipeline contract. Now, if you guys have noticed over the past couple of days and weeks, those gas prices are starting to hike up. Say goodbye to those $1 and $2 a gallon gas prices. We're not going to be seeing that under a Joe Biden administration. Now, I really want to get into the Keystone Pipeline, and I was going to sit down and do an actual edited video about this, but I'll jump on the live stream and we'll go over it with each other. You guys can leave comments and what you guys think about that. But before we jump too far into the pipeline, yes, let me go ahead and show you guys my screen here. These are, again, those 17 orders that Joe Biden signed his first day in office. Remember, his whole entire platform and policy is America last and American citizens last. Trump was America first. Joe Biden is the exact opposite of that. So again, number one, he stopped the border wall construction. He ended the Muslim travel ban. He rejoined the Paris Climate Agreement that will take 30 days to go into effect. He's ending that Keystone Pipeline contract. He is counting non-citizens in the U.S. census again. Now, we know that the counting of U.S. citizens in the census delegates how many tax dollars go to a specific district. And I believe it also has to do with the amount of congressmen per state. I forgot what it is, but it has to do with like politicians and the amount of people that are counted in a certain district in a census. It directly coincides with politicians and the amount of people representing that district. So now that we're counting non-citizens, that in itself is going to be completely warped. He's rejoining the World Health Organization. Love that. Yes, the same World Health Organization that covered for China at the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic. Immediately, the World Health Organization came out and said, hey, China's not to blame for the fact that COVID-19 broke out into the world. Sure, there were doctors and there were people who were trying to blow the whistle on COVID-19, and China silenced them and put them in jail. But it's really not China's fault. The World Health Organization ran cover, and the World Health Organization tweet that says, China says there has still been no human-to-human transmission of COVID-19 is still up. So the World Health Organization did a disastrous job of handling COVID-19. They've been flip-flopping on how to handle this pandemic. It spread worldwide. It got extremely bad because we never held China accountable. And the World Health Organization is a big reason as to why, because they covered for China. So we're rejoining the World Health Organization. Again, that's going to take, I believe, another 30 days for that to be enacted. And like we started the show off with today, 100-day masking challenge for Biden and his administration, which he couldn't even last one day in, let alone 100. So that in itself is a huge joke. He's extending eviction and foreclosure moratoriums. He is continuing a pause on student loan payments until September 30th. Love that. I really love it when the government steps in and tells people, hey, if you decided to take out a $100,000 loan, guess what? There is no consequences to your action. The government is going to cover for you, and you will be dependent on the government. That's what that looks like to me, and that's what that sounds like to me. Granted, there's still the added aspect of COVID-19 and the government itself destroying the economy and not allowing people to work. That is also something to note, a part of that. So again, I want to note that I'm very aware of the situation that we're in economically, but also I think it's a very bad idea whenever the government steps in and says that there's no consequences to one's action. And that's what that looks like to me. Now, there's 7 more things on this list, but I don't want to go through all of them because I want to get into with you guys really what the canceling of the Keystone Pipeline contract means for America and her citizens. So let's see here. Okay. So I'm constantly pushing my Telegram channel because, as a lot of you guys know, if you do follow me on other social media platforms, well, one, I'm not on Twitter anymore because I was banned after Donald Trump retweeted me, President Donald Trump. After that, I was banned for my on-the-ground reporting, so you can't follow me there. Instagram has stopped me from live streaming and has been pulling down a lot of my posts. You guys know that I do a lot of riot coverage and protest coverage, and Instagram is not allowing me to do that or even go live at this point. So please go follow me on my Telegram channel, t.me/sav_says. That is where I put all of my news and a lot of the things I'm going to be referencing in this broadcast. You will see today on my Telegram channel. So if you guys want to know what I'm seeing every single day, what I am reading, what I'm looking at in terms of keeping up with the news, go and join my Telegram thread. The link is down below in the description. Go and follow me there because I'm constantly interacting with you guys, talking with you guys about news every day when I can't jump on a live stream. And again, putting in all of the tweets and news links that I am keeping up with. So let's go ahead and jump right into this. Why the canceling of the Keystone Pipeline contract is bad for Americans and what it really means. So my dad actually is in the oil industry, and I'm always talking to him too about these pipelines, what it means for America. And immediately I said, okay, well, obviously canceling this contract means no more American jobs, right? And he said, yes, but there's also added aspects. For example, we're going to talk about right now why our gas prices are going up and how this directly correlates for maybe some of you who don't understand it. So let's jump into this tweet. It says, it's from Ray DeNiro. Biden canceled the permit for the Keystone XL pipeline. Just a stroke of the pen for Joe, but now 42,000 union jobs are gone. American independence on oil is gone, and we are back to depending on foreign nations. I'm looking at every Republican do-gooder right now. Now, the one thing I really want to point out, and I think is biggest to note, is that whether or not we have this Keystone pipeline, oil is still going to be one extracted from the earth and moved, because we are an oil dependent country. People always say that we're trying to get rid of fossil fuels. That is not something that's going to happen, and we need to stop living in la la land with that. And I want to go into why that is. Now, I was reading this Forbes article, which is safer for transporting crude oil, rail, truck, pipeline, or boat. Now, I went into this article because I really wanted to get in deep on why canceling the Keystone pipeline was not only bad for Americans in terms of losing jobs, but what it means for us being dependent on foreign oil and how oil transportation in America works. So what I uncovered is that, number one, just from the very basis of this, that the Keystone Pipeline was a 9 billion, 1,200-mile pipeline that would transport up to 830,000 barrels of crude oil daily from Alberta, Canada, all the way down to Nebraska. Now, according to the Keystone website, the project, initially proposed more than a decade ago, guys, would sustain about 11,000 U.S. jobs in 2021, including 8,000 union jobs, and generate $1.6 billion in gross wages. Now, I know that tweet that I just read said 42,000 jobs, but this is from the Keystone website. They were saying that, again, sustaining 11,000 U.S. jobs in 2021, 8,000 union jobs, and $1.6 billion in gross wages. Now, the reason that Joe Biden said that he wanted to shut down the Keystone pipeline is because, of course, we've seen that he's been putting his climate initiative at the forefront of his administration, saying that he wants to make America more green. That's why he added us into the Paris Climate Accord again, which is going to be taxing people for using, certain amounts of energy. So basically, we're just all going to have to pay higher bills. And in terms of the Keystone Pipeline, again, higher gas prices. So Biden believes that carbon emissions and climate change pose a grave threat to the environment and the economy, and he wants to block more use of fossil fuels and reduce carbon emissions by stopping the Keystone Pipeline project. But again, stopping this project and in reading this Forbes article and doing research is actually going to equal more carbon emissions, because instead of oil being transported via pipeline that was going to be running all the way from Canada to Nebraska, now the oil, which is still going to be getting transported, will be transported via rail. Now, going back into this article, and I wrote all of the quotes out on my notes on the side. So if you guys want to read this article for yourself, it goes really into depth on, again, why pipelines are better for oil transportation. Or, I mean, we'll get into it and you can make your own opinion on that. But basically, again, whether or not we stop this pipeline, the oil will still get transported, but now it will be shipped via rail. Now, going into this article, there's a quote that says that the Obama State Department found 5 separate times that the pipeline would have no material impact on greenhouse gas emissions, since crude would still be extracted. But Shipping by rail or tanker of the oil would result in 28% to 40%, 42% higher CO2 emissions and more leaks. Now, we know that a lot of environmentalists don't want this pipeline because they say that it runs through, you know, native grounds or native lands and whatnot, and that the oil could leak out of the pipelines, destroying the earth. But based off of what this article is saying, one, again, higher CO2 emissions because of rail transportation, and two, a higher chance of leaks. Apologies there on that mispronunciation. Apparently, there's only four ways to move oil and gas around the country, and that is pipeline, truck, rail, and boat. And you do have to pick one of these. So if you don't build new pipelines, then you will move more oil by rail, especially from Canada. Now, apparently 97% of natural gas and petroleum products are transported by pipelines. And as pipeline projects fail, Canada is now investing more in rail transport. Canada's energy regulator announced in June that 200,000 barrels per day is being exported by rail. And this article was written back in 2018, so I'm not sure if those numbers are as up to date. But again, talking to my father who does work in this industry, the amount of oil that is moved via rail versus via pipeline is substantially different. And let's get into that now. So a rail tank car carries about 30,000 gallons of crude oil. A train of 100 cars carries about 3 million gallons and takes over 3 days to travel from Alberta, Canada to the Gulf Coast, about 1 million gallons per day. Now, apparently, the Keystone Pipeline would carry 35 million gallons per day or 830,000 barrels. So, again, this puts pressure now on the rail transportation to get bigger and bigger, which would include more cars per train, which would include a bigger chance of crude oil train wrecks, which would then in turn equal, you know, land being destroyed by oil. And, you know, for those of you who want to jump in and say, oh, well, you know, this is why we shouldn't be transporting oil in the first place. You're living in a utopia. There's literally oil in everything. Okay. Makeup, plastics. You need oil to make your vehicle work. Okay. So all of these people who are saying that fossil fuels just need to disappear are not living in reality. And again, Joe Biden canceling this pipeline contract is not only making us dependent on foreign oil, because like this article just stated, we are now going from 3 million gallons over 3 days instead of 35 million gallons of crude oil per day. So that is the big reason as to why deleting or canceling, sorry guys, I just like had a brain freeze there. Canceling the Keystone pipeline contract was a very bad thing. And again, too, we are now going to be depending on foreign oil, which means that people in foreign countries will be getting jobs because of our dependence on foreign oil. Meanwhile, here at home, Joe Biden just destroyed those American jobs and Canadian jobs, if you will, for the people who would have been working on the Keystone pipeline. So wanted to get into that and why it was a big issue. Also, we know that Joe Biden has put us back into the Paris Climate Agreement. And as Senator Marsha Blackburn talks about, this will cost more American jobs and force households and small businesses to pay higher utility bills. So far what we've seen Joe Biden enact in not even his full first week in office: less American jobs, dependence on foreign countries, higher gas prices, higher utility bills. Not my favorite thing in the world, but welcome to a Joe Biden presidency. And I saw this tweet as well the other day, and I wanted to bring it up because I think it is very funny to see that now all of these people who voted for Joe Biden are coming forth and saying, admittedly, this guy, Mark Loblinair, admittedly, I'm not a Trump fan. He kind of isn't a good dude. Weak-ass leader, narcissist, and very abrasive. But after seeing 2 days of the alternative, he's looking damn good right now. Now, I think that this is very funny because a lot of the people who did vote for Joe Biden and put him in office are in right now for a very rude awakening, because This is Joe Biden. This is the type of president that he is. And this is what he has instituted into our country. And these are the policies that he is enacting. America last, no American jobs, dependence on foreign countries. And all of the people who voted for Joe Biden are now learning the very difficult decision of what they have voted into office. Even further, if you are a gun owner, these are Biden's proposed policies for assault rifles. He is proposing, and we already know this because we've been talking about it, none of this is a new thing. Maybe if you voted for Joe Biden for the first time and you're realizing what he is actually instituting, this is a new thing to you. But for every Trump supporter who has been paying attention and who voted for Trump because they didn't want this in our country, this is America now. So this is his proposed policy for assault rifles. Mandatory registration under the National Firearms Act, $200 tax for each assault rifle owned, and an extra $200 tax for each high-capacity magazine. So again, more money, more of your money, your hard-earned money, and more of your rights in the pockets and in the hands of the corrupt American government. Let's go even further. Biden is now reversing the executive order put into place by President Trump to reduce pricing for insulin and epinephrine. This is not a partisan issue and will harm Americans. This is from Rupali Chadha, MD. And a lot of people have been talking about this too, how many Americans, because of the high price of our prescription and, you know, our Medicare issue is another thing that we can delve into on another day. But apparently insulin prices are very high. And there are so many sad stories of Americans who actually died because they couldn't afford their medication. And now the order that Trump put in place to make sure that they could access that, that has now been revoked by our dear leader, Joe Biden. And Dave Rubin put up this tweet too. And we started this show off with the video of Joe Biden not wearing a mask. If you're just joining now, I started off the show today with a video of Joe Biden without a mask on in front of the Lincoln Memorial on inauguration night, right after instituting his policy of forcing people to wear face masks on federal property. So this is from Ryan Saavedra. Biden is again violating his mask mandate by not wearing a mask while in the White House, which is federal property, in a room with other people. He was also caught coughing into his hand, which goes against CDC recommendations. The hypocrisy kills me, you guys. And actually watching Joe Biden talk is terrifying. I was watching this clip of him speak, and this is how he speaks. He literally is dying before our very eyes. And I'm not smiling because I think that's a good thing. It's actually terrifying to watch Joe Biden. And someone just put in the comments, he actually said Biden is an idiot, but I read that in my peripheral vision as Biden gets ratioed a lot. And I think that was just a subliminal thing in my own mind, because he has been getting ratioed on YouTube for his inauguration, for his press secretary. You know, every single time the White House puts out a video for Joe Biden on YouTube, it's 10,000 likes down. And guess what YouTube has to do? YouTube has to go in, and they said it was a glitch. But those 10,000 downvotes turned into 3,000 downvotes. They took 7,000 off. Joe Biden is so wildly unpopular that he can't even get votes on YouTube on his videos. And you want us to think that he got votes in real life from American people? It's hilarious to me. So not only is Joe Biden violating his own no mask order and coughing into his hand into a room of people, but also he's treating our military like SHIT. I am a lady, so I will not curse on this broadcast. But, and I'm sure many of you saw this article, and it, as soon as I saw it, it just really upset me. I can't even talk now, guys, because I'm upset. But unlike Joe Biden's press secretary, I will regain my composure and not fill in the blanks with, Instead, we will regain our composure and get into this story. Now, we know that there was 25,000 military members that were in Washington, D.C. for Joe Biden's inauguration. Remember, the most popular president in American history had to be surrounded by military because he was scared of the people who elected him into office. Yeah, makes perfect sense. I know. So after the inauguration was over, this is what Joe Biden did to our military members. Now, apparently, thousands of National Guardsmen were forced to vacate congressional grounds, and they were taking their rest breaks outside and in nearby parking garages after 2 weeks of sleepless nights protecting the nation. Now, I'm going to click into this and see if we can see these photos because they are very sad to see. As you guys can see here, we have all of these National Guardsmen in these cold parking garages because there was no place for them to stay. And the Biden administration just put them in a cold parking garage and said, hey, military, thanks. Nancy Pelosi's done with her photo op with you guys. Yeah, get out of, the Capitol building, please, and go outside into the cold parking garage. I don't have the tweet up here, but Benny Johnson was basically saying that I believe it was 5,000 of them who had to stay in this parking garage with one restroom and one outlet. And a lot of people came coming forward and saying, oh, well, when they go to Afghanistan and other foreign countries, what do you think that they are living in luxurious hotels? No, they're used to this type of thing. Really, guys, in our nation's capital, you really want to make the excuse for Joe Biden and say that they could have been in worse conditions? That's disgusting to me. And if you made that type of excuse, you clearly have no respect for our military members. Get off my broadcast. Sorry, guys, my sister's in the Air Force Reserves, and I have several family members who have served, who my father was in the Navy, my grandfather was in the Marines. So I have an extensive family base that has been in the military, and I have a lot of respect for them. And I wish that Joe Biden did too. But clearly, they're props for him to use when he needs them. Protect me with a wall and guns. But also, I'm taking the wall down from this country, and you guys can't have guns. I'm taxing you for having your guns. And now that Nancy Pelosi's photo op is done, send them to the cold garage. We don't need you anymore. Now, luckily for us, President Trump immediately stepped up and said, hey, two of these National Guardsmen that are in this cold parking garage, Trump Hotel is open to you. So President Trump is already cleaning up Joe Biden's messes, and Joe Biden has only been in office for a couple of days. And yesterday, I believe, Joe Biden, once news of this story broke, Joe Biden went and gave two baskets of cookies to these poor National Guardsmen. Really? Are you kidding me? You think that's going to make up for the fact that you treated our military members like crap? Shame on you. Shame on you, Joe Biden. Shame on this administration. And shame on all of the media members, because you know damn well if President Trump had done this to our military, the media would be up in arms. But guess what? Good old Jake Tapper, I don't have the tweet. I wish I did. Good old Jake Tapper of CNN said, I would like to know who was in charge of this, because this is an outrage. Really, Jake Tapper? Because I think we all know who was in charge of this. Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden and every other portion of the government where Democrats are now the leader, the head, the person in charge. We know damn well who was in charge of this. So shame on you and shame on everyone who allowed this to happen. Now, luckily for us, we have senators who have brought the National Guard back home. Greg Abbott of Texas is one of them. He said, I have instructed General Norris to order the return of the Texas National Guard to our state. And I believe Ron DeSantis is also another governor who did this as well. I don't have it up right now, but Ron DeSantis did the same thing. As soon as word of this story broke out, the senator said, okay, these are not your personal servants. We're bringing our National Guardsmen back home. So Florida did this, Texas did this, and I know a couple of other senators did that too. I can't remember their names off the top of my head. Now, going further into Joe Biden's administration and what a just horrible, horrible crap show it's been, if you guys did see that tweet that I just accidentally flashed up, we are now going to be talking about how Joe Biden said he is going to do 100 million shots in 100 days. Now, that sounds like a very ambitious plan, doesn't it? Yes, except for the fact that President Trump has already been doing that. As Carol Markowicz points out, we are already doing close to 1 million shots a day, and the Joe Biden plan is to do 100 million shots in 100 days. It's literally the same plan. But are any of us surprised? Are any of us surprised at all that Joe Biden is basically taking everything that Trump has done and just putting his own name on it? Everyone keeps saying that Joe Biden was going to be our COVID savior. You know what? He just came forward in a press conference yesterday and said,
yeah, there's no clear plan for COVID. It's going to run its course and people are going to die.
Oh, wow. We know. That's okay. Great. Why did you run on this whole campaign and that you were going to fix COVID? Oh, because the Democrats in all of these different states are finally going to now allow people to live their lives normally because we know that this virus has a 99% survival rate and then the economy is going to get revived. And now we are going to have you to thank for that. I see. And that is something that's happening. Let me jump a couple of slides ahead here. And let's jump right into how the Democrats are now helping Joe Biden reopen now that he's back in office. Apparently, Gretchen Whitmer of Michigan said that we can now resume indoor dining at restaurants as of February 1st. Not only that, but DC will be ending its ban on indoor dining as well. Restaurants are now open at 25% capacity. Of course, good old Andrew Cuomo, who is responsible for killing the largest amount of elders in our nation from COVID-19 by putting COVID-positive patients in nursing homes. We simply cannot stay closed until the vaccine hits critical mass. The cost is too high. We will have nothing left to open. We must reopen the economy, but we must do it smartly and safely. Wow, it's like we haven't been saying this all along. It's like that wasn't what Trump was pushing for and campaigning for the past 6 to 9 months. Wow. What a guy. Thank God Joe Biden's in office and all of the Democrats are now realizing that the fake science that they've been pushing and the bad economic policies that have been destroying people's lives are not a good idea anymore. Bless. We should be so grateful. Don't forget, too, that Lori Lightfoot, the mayor that literally looks like Beetlejuice of Chicago, who went and got her hair cut because she's important. She needs to get her hair cut, but you cannot. She also came forward and made similar comments of how we really need to reopen because, you know, if we don't, it's going to be a bad time for Americans. Isn't politics fun? Isn't politics fun, guys? I love it so much. It's great. I love it when corrupt politicians destroy our lives. Now, I have a good friend, Jorge Ventura of Daily Caller, and he has been making it his life mission to go out in California and talk to the small business owners who have been affected by this shutdown, to go and talk to the families who have been put out of work and cannot pay their bills, to go talk to the kids who have been severely just suffering from mental disorders because they've been locked up and they can't live their normal lives. Now, this is his latest story, very heartbreaking. He says he just got off the phone with a family of four in California that are now homeless due to the pandemic and living in an RV. No one hiring, no Wi-Fi for the kids to go to school, and today they barely had enough food to eat. How many families in America are going through this? And if you go to his page on Instagram, Jorge Ventura TV, there's a link in his bio right here. We'll click into it, and it takes you to a Linktree page where you can click GoFundMe to help California family. And as you guys can see, they've already raised $7,000, but their goal is for $100,000. So if it is in your heart to donate, don't donate to this channel today. Go and donate to this GoFundMe and help this family out who is severely struggling because of Gavin Newsom's unconstitutional lockdowns. Families are being destroyed. And unfortunately, again, Democrats refused to take action until it was Joe Biden who was in office. And we've seen that clearly. So it's a very sad state of affairs in our country right now, but that's where we're at. And it is what it is. It's very unfortunate. Now, too, before we get away from this broadcast, I do want to talk about as well a list. Now, remember how we have been talking about and Trump supporters have been talking about how we are being put on lists, how politicians are calling to say who supported Trump, who was a part of his administration, and make sure that we document that for all time so that way those people can never get a job or be a part of civil society again. Well, I was put on one of those lists on Instagram. Now, this Instagram page is called Don't Support Trump. And if you scroll through the page, every single post is of just normal citizens, people like me, commentators, people who support Trump. Now, I ended up DMing this guy and saying, hey, thanks for putting me on your list here. And he said, yeah, of course. I just really want to make sure that every single person who supported Trump is held responsible for the rest of their lives. Like, seriously, guys, look at this page. This guy is such a pathetic loser. He dedicates all of his life to just documenting. And again, these aren't just big people who have a platform. This is average, everyday citizens, people a part of TPUSA, students who are being like targeted by this guy because they supported Trump. So again, just another real-time example that people on the left are deranged and they're not going to stop until we're all held accountable for supporting a president that we liked because he helped boost our economy. He helped bring jobs back to America. He helped with border security. He was a good president overall. He didn't let the media walk all over him and spread their propaganda throughout the rest of the country. You know, a lot of people really loved and adored Trump, and it's sad to see that people on the left, specifically Biden supporters, think that we need to be punished for that. Now, not only are we just seeing all of these bad policies come out from Joe Biden, his bad press secretary making excuses for him, we also have the good old media running cover for Biden. And we knew that this was going to happen anyway, so none of this is surprising, but it's very frustrating to see, because you and I all know that the media runs a giant propaganda campaign every single day to, one, either demonize Trump, or to prop up every little thing that Joe Biden does. I can't wait for the day where people are sitting there with press secretary and basically saying, "Hi, Jen. So Iran just bombed us. What is Joe Biden's favorite ice cream flavor? Is it strawberry? Is it vanilla? We have to know," because that's our press nowadays. It's pathetic. Now, Brian Stelter, this was on inauguration night, he put this tweet up, and as you guys can see, the bottom part's in all caps, and so my eye was immediately drawn to that. So I saw Brian Stelter, and then my eye was immediately drawn to, "Tonight, Antifa tearing Portland apart, media in China giddy over President Biden, Biden's divisive policy sacrifice our freedom, and Biden radically changing U.S. with executive orders." And I said, wow, Brian Stelter is actually reporting on real news for once in his life. What does this mean? And then I read a little bit closer, and as you guys can see, that top portion says, "Some of the banners from Laura Ingraham's 10 p.m. hour on Fox." I knew it was too good to be true. We all knew that Brian Stelter would never report real news. Now, but not only is he refusing to report on real news, he's demonizing the people who actually are willing to do it. Now, Antifa tore apart both Portland and Seattle on Joe Biden's inauguration night because they hate Joe Biden. They were burning Biden flags and they were spray painting F Joe Biden. And in Portland, they actually went to the Democrat headquarters and they smashed in all the windows because they hate the Democratic Party. And I think that's the funniest thing about all of this too is, you know, Joe Biden, one, said that Antifa was just an idea, and two, Antifa hates Joe Biden, and so all of the people who are saying, oh, the rioting is just happening because Trump's a fascist, and once we get that fascist out of office, then we'll have Joe Biden to come forward and bring back civil society. No, Black Lives Matter and Antifa do not like Joe Biden because he is ineffective. He's not a good leader, and they think he, too, is a fascist. They don't like big government, and Antifa is not happy that Joe Biden is in office, so they will continue to destroy. And guess what? They will continue to do so unfazed and untouched by the government because Joe Biden's not going to put his foot down. Press Secretary Jen Psaki, whatever her name is, was asked, "Hey, did you see what happened in Portland and Seattle with Antifa?" "Oh, yes, we're closely monitoring that situation." Congratulations. You're closely monitoring it? Okay. And what does that mean? What does that do for our damn country? Yeah, we see the destruction happening, and it's bad. That someone should probably do something about that. That's Joe Biden, our press secretary. Ridiculous. And of course, again, media running cover for them. Now, this is one of my favorite CNN tweets from inauguration night that I wanted to just bless you guys with. And this is the head of strategic communications for CNN, Matt Dornick. He said, "This team truly understands optics. These images will inspire our friends and shake our foes." And this is in reference to the huge fireworks show, you know, complete with a celebrity crowd and Joe Biden in attendance with Kamala Harris there. And it was just huge fireworks over the National Monument or the Washington Monument. Of course, none of the actual Americans who live in this country were there to see it because DC was shut down. It was elites only. Only Joe Biden and his celebrity friends were allowed to see that. But CNN came forward and said that Joe Biden's team just totally understands the optics. Like, China is going to see these fireworks and they're shaking in their boots. Same with Iran and North Korea. Oh my gosh. Yeah, we're already seeing the reemergence of ISIS on Joe Biden's first day in office. I'm not joking. There was an attack in Baghdad with a suicide vest, and people are saying it's the reemergence of ISIS. Why do you think that is, guys? It's because Joe Biden is a weak leader. He is not a leader, one. And two, I guess, in the position that he is in, he's weak and sad, and he's not fit to run this country, to be quite honest with you. Like I said, go watch a video of Joe Biden just speaking to the American public. It's literally like, yes, my name's Joe Biden. That's how Joe Biden sounds when he talks. It's terrifying. But anyways, let's get away from some of this bad news and go into my favorite part of today. Now, one of the only good things that came out of the inauguration was the Bernie Mittens meme. I thought it was hilarious. I think that Bernie Sanders is like a funny little old man. Don't love his policies. Don't love the socialist agenda that he's bringing into America. But he's a funny meme, okay? Give me that, guys. So I told you guys on my Telegram channel to send in your favorite Bernie memes. And I picked 13 of my top memes that I love that you guys sent in. They were hilarious. So let's go through them now. Now, these are not in any particular order. They're just all hilarious. So this is a good one. This is one of the rioters at the Capitol. Yeah, I take that back. He was not a rioter. He was a person who attended the Capitol siege carrying Bernie Sanders out on his chair. Hilarious. Loved that one. Here's, okay, I love this one because where is Bernie in this picture? You really have to look for him, and there he is in that little corner. I think this is from the movie Boys in the Hood. I'm not too sure. If it's not, don't kill me for that one. There's another one. Here's the little Bernie right here. You guys just sent in so many, and my favorite part about these memes is that Bernie is just so seamlessly photoshopped into all of them. Here's Bernie in E.T. as E.T. Okay. Oh, and I see that a lot of you guys actually have joined this Telegram channel as of this streaming. So, oh my gosh, I love this one. This one's one of my favorites. Bernie as J. Cole. Love that. Bernie and Deadpool. If you guys didn't know, Deadpool is one of my favorite movies. So I personally enjoyed that one. And then this one, it's hard to see, but Bernie is right here. Like I said, whoever did the photoshopping on these, hilarious. And again, if you want to see these more in depth, if you want to see these a little bit closer or save them and share them with your friends, go to my Telegram channel t.me/sav_says, and you guys can check out all of these great Bernie memes and share them with your friends. Oh gosh, let me see if I can play this video for you guys. It's so hilarious. Come on, come on, work. Yes, guys, I'm dead. Oh my freaking gosh, I love it so much. So to anybody who made Bernie into a meme, bless your soul. Bless you. Thank you. I think everyone in America really needed that after this really not amazing week of Joe Biden being in office. Oh, and in talking about the Bernie meme real quick, last news article I'll bring up for the day. Apparently, the woman who made the iconic Bernie mittens, yeah, she quit making them because she had to stop her small business because high taxes killed it. High taxes literally killed this Vermont teacher's small business, and she had to stop making the mittens. Isn't that funny, guys? Isn't that funny how she made mittens for Bernie Sanders, whose entire campaign, entire policy is run on higher taxes, and then she became an actual victim of high taxes and couldn't run her own small business because of them? It's actually very sad to see. But anyway, thank you all for tuning into this live stream. I had a lot to say today. I think this one went much more smoothly than my last one. I'm really sorry about the choppy stream and the bad audio. I'm going to continue to try and make the set here a lot better for you guys and make the connection better so that way we can keep talking politics. And yeah, let me know what you guys thought of the stream today in the comments. Let me see, I'll scroll through this a little bit and see if there's any questions that you guys had for me. Let's see. But overall, like, thank you guys for tuning in. I really appreciate it. I think we had a really great audience today. And yes, someone just said that I need more subs. Please share my channel. As a lot of you guys know, I have been banned or shadow banned from many platforms. So please share my channel with your friends. Please share it on your social media account. I'm really trying to make a good show for you guys. And I really am passionate about sharing the truth with you guys. And it is now more important than ever that we have independent journalists who will take the time to actually read articles and read facts and report on what Joe Biden is actually doing to this country, because we know that all of the mainstream media is just going to be doing is running cover for Joe Biden and his awful administration over the next 4 years. So please share my channel, Sav Says. Please follow me on Telegram, again, t.me/Sav_says. The link is down below. Follow me on Instagram at Sav with one N, and follow me on Gab, Savannah Hernandez. Also, guys, I have an Odyssey account now. Odyssey is basically an alt platform to YouTube, and they're really great. You know, I really like the platform a lot more than Rumble because it is a lot more user friendly, and it's not just right wing political things on Odyssey. It's pretty much everyone over there. I think Salty Crackers on Odyssey, my friend Sydney Watson's on Odyssey. So I really like the platform. So I'm over there. Go check me out. Go sub to my channel on that side of things. And thank you guys for tuning in today. I appreciate everyone who did leave a super chat. Again, all of that super chat money will be going towards helping me build a set here at home. I will be, again, just making this stream better for you guys. So thank you for tuning in. And I will hopefully speak with you guys probably next Tuesday. Let's shoot for 5 p.m. Central Time Tuesday. Yeah, guys, does that sound good? Let me know. Shoot me some messages in the Telegram chat. I will put some times and days in there, and then you guys can let me know what time you think is best. All right, I'm out of here for the day. Have a great Saturday. Thanks for sticking with me. I really enjoy. You guys are the best, and we'll talk soon.